From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to Postcard from Poprad. On a glorious sunny day with myself, Eric Wiltshire, in the UK, Lee Banks, and Gay Parry, co-founder of the consumer action group, Mark Gender. Guys, we're off to see... Well, this is a bit of a non-story, really, talking about The Simpsons.
The Simpsons? Are we going to that one? I thought we'd given that one up. It's not a non-story. Well, how can you say it's a non-story?
Because the series is finishing.
It isn't, is it?
Is it really?
Yeah.
No.
I heard on the grapevine there was a Barney about the...
Barney's in the Flintstones.
The actors charging so much money that the networks weren't going to run it anymore.
Oh, I thought they'd reduced their thing. I thought that they'd negotiated and they kind of got a way forward.
Oh, all right, then. Yeah. Do you know, this is... It's not me. It's not me.
It's me. It's this end.
Oh, my word.
So professional. Don't switch it off!
I don't know how to. I have to say to somebody that I'm on the phone and I have to come back.
Yeah.
I think it's just amazing. I think it's wonderful.
What?
It's final proof that Homer actually exists.
Well, do you know who spoke the inimitable words the first time that Sky got the series? And I was sitting in Sky Towers at the time. And I says to them, why did you buy The Simpsons? It will never take off.
I'm going to have to absent myself a minute.
Go on then. Mark's off playing. There's always been an argument as to where this thing, which Springfield in America the series was based around, and at last we've got an answer.
Yeah, Oregon.
Oregon.
Springfield, Oregon. Yeah. And guess what?
What?
Guess what? While we were talking about the English press, which we weren't doing, we were doing off air.
Yes.
Guess which English newspaper got the exclusive photograph of the real Madge Simpson, the Sun.
Right. Well, is that something special?
Who is the real Madge Simpson?
It was the real Madge Simpson, the real Madge Simpson. She got big, pointy blue hair. She was, I think she's 72 now, and she had big, pointy blue hair, and was quite raunchy in the past, apparently, just like Madge is on the Simpsons on the telly. And they found her and photographed her.
All right. Okay.
So the Simpsons exist. You're right, it is a non-story.
It is a bit really, isn't it? Why gentlemen prefer blondes?
Well, there you have it. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a bit scary for me because I'm ash blonde. Yeah, it says...
That's only with old age.
No, ash. Ash. Do you know, they say the same thing in Slovakia for guys. If you're grey like Lee, then, you know, when you get old, they do call you blonde. I think that's very nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have to point out that I am ash blonde in the same way as Sean Connery and the other delectable men of a certain age like me.
Oh.
Yes. No, anyway, well, what happened? This is true, right? In the caveman days, in the times when the cavemen were about, right, most people had brown hair, looked like everybody else, like Mr. Eric has brown hair like everybody else.
Yeah.
And the women, to survive... genetically changed themselves so they became blonde so that the toughest cavemen would spot them and protect and save them and use them to perpetuate the human species.
How do they do that? How did that happen?
I don't know.
Just let me know a bit more about this perpetuation. This sounds very interesting.
Stop Please. It. I know where this is going.
It's like that go forth and multiply thing, isn't it?
How does one go forth? I mean, tell me about the going forth.
Well, you have to look at a little, you know, bloody old called golfers. Right? You get four of them.
Is it something to do with going up a drain pipe or something?
A rat up a drain pipe.
Yeah, one of those, right. Okay.
But I have to say, there could be something in this, you know.
Yeah.
They could.
There's a lot in it. Don't be disgusting.
These women are cunning, aren't they? I mean,
yes, careful how you say that. No, it's true because I was talking to a colleague the other day and I've now banned her from ever coming, banned her from coming to Slovakia ever.
Oh, banned.
Banned.
Yeah, so I thought you said...
No, I said banned.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Banned her from coming to Slovakia forever because she reckons in Slovakia I'm spoilt and women should be taught to stand up and tell me to get lost and make me own tea. And I said, that's it, you're banned from coming here. Absolutely banned. Because there's a different there's a different style of looking after people here.
Really. I got round to genetics, you know, actually, because when it was Andrea's birthday, right, she's true, go. Right, 2 weeks ago, it was Andrea's birthday, and I said, what would you like for your birthday, darling? She said, I'd like a Siamese cat. Well, have you seen the price of Siamese cats? So you know what I did? I got two normal cats and glued the reds together.
But I think it's very, very apt of the girls here to volunteer to make tea for men, to make sure, to open the wardrobe up regularly and make sure the shirts are all ironed, and when they go away, their case is packed for them, and they clean up for them. When they get home, it's put your feet up, have a rest, don't work too hard, and all these wonderful things. And bake.
And get the men's hearts going in the morning for
and
them.
And bake for them as well. You know, traditional proper baking, that lovely smell from them. I think that's perfectly acceptable.
What's the other side of the deal? I mean, what, you know, I'm just don't quite fathom this. I mean,
well, we respect the fact that they're doing it for us. That's what they get the respect.
And they do all that in return for some respect.
Yes.
He's just made me realise something about Slovakia.
What?
You want to go there?
Well, all the women are blonde, isn't it?
Correct, Amondo.
That's because all the men are cavemen.
No, it's because they bleach themselves out of bottles.
No.
How many really blonde?
Well, obviously.
Collar and cuffs?
I can't check it all as one understands. But it is true to say that they have a lot of blonde natural hair, and they have a lot of big assets. Or as I said to some girl the other day, you obviously stood in the right place when God moved the forklift truck forward. To which she looked at me and went, what?
This is getting cheeky.
Is it? No, I was just about to move on to that area, or not as the case may be. But in truth, no, if I have a business meeting at home, seriously.
What, the payer now, have you?
No, Martina will bring the tea and Bicky's in, and she'll go into another area rather than stay where the work's going on. That is the culture.
Because you're really interesting.
That's the culture.
Sounds like Japan.
Yeah, it does.
It is a bit, yeah. Actually, you're not wrong there. Anyway, moving along, before I get lambasted by all the those lot.
Well, it is getting a bit locker room, I have to say.
No, I was thinking of all the girls throwing bricks at me. Right. Oh, dear. Who's gone insane over Google in a fight to steal our freedom?
Well, it's just a funny thing, isn't it? This bloke, Bryn, whatever his name is. Yeah, what's he called?
I don't know.
One of the creators of Google. He came out recently and he said what I thought was a really, really bizarre thing. Yeah. And he says that the openness of the internet has been threatened more than ever by the combination of governments increasingly trying to control access, the entertainment industry cracking down on piracy, and the rise of restrictive companies such as Facebook and Apple.
Steady, Tiger.
Well, yeah. But what an outrageous thing for him to come out and say when he is at the vanguard of the company that wants to rule the world.
Funny that.
He's back down on it.
I would say.
Said that. The media got it wrong.
I would add to Facebook and Apple Yahoo. Because they,
I wanted to cheer when it came up as well, yeah.
Because I have found some horrendous things on Yahoo questions and answers, which are nothing short of diatribe. In fact, I think they challenge the laws of physics. And yet people put stuff on there and everybody else believes it's true.
I think it is absolutely outrageous. And I think it is outrageous for this man, Bryn, to then turn around and say that The Guardian, who did the interview with him, have got it wrong and misrepresented him. He is the man who wants to own the world. He wants to change, take away all our freedom to perpetuate his ability to earn money out of the population of the world. Yep. And because he's got a bit embarrassed because he attacked Apple and Facebook, he doesn't give a stuff about attacking everybody else. Well,
just a minute. What about Google Plus then, where they nick all your details when you sign up?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And he's saying that the Guardian got it wrong. No, the Guardian didn't get it wrong, Mr. Brin. They got it right. You said it to them, and now you're embarrassed because you've been caught out. You've been hoist by your own petard.
Exactly. I think there's too much of that going on. How equity release firm told my friend he would lose £51,000 if he didn't go with him. What?
Well, that's it. This is my story. There's something that I know about personally. I wanted to share it with Mark. But I want to get down to talk about Leonard Cohen, you know.
No, I don't want to do that yet. I want to stay where we are.
Yeah, well, no, here we have it, right? I'll tell you this very briefly, Mark, and you tell me what you think about this.
Yeah.
Equity release in the past used to be classed as one of the most heinous businesses in the world. They were ripping people off. What they were actually doing was stealing your children's...
Lee, what you need to do is explain what equity release is, because it's not the same in every country.
I was just going to do that now.
Oh, okay.
They intended to steal your children's inheritance by freeing to you what the equity was you had in your home.
They were not stealing inheritance. The people said, "Can I have some money if I give you a bit of equity?"
Yeah,
that's it.
So that meant that you couldn't give.
Mark's typing an email.
Mark, just behave.
I was just typing down everything that you said.
Yeah.
Right, this mate of mine, right, thought he's got a £350,000 house, so he phoned up an equity release company, as he thought, right, and asked them what equity release he would get in his house. Now, what you have to do is you get the equity release out of it, and you have to pay your mortgage off, so you then become mortgaged to the equity release company, or a lifetime mortgage company, as they're also known.
Yeah.
And that means you don't have to pay anything, but the money racks up in between the equity. Now, they guarantee that by the end of it, you won't owe more than the equity release is, the equity is in your house.
Right.
Now, the story is that this is what used to happen in the past, right? And there was a lot of cowboys and a lot of...
There's one other thing that you've got to remember in that, Lee, which is very important with equity release. You're still liable for the repair of the house, and you can get in deep doo-doo if you don't look after it.
And you know something else you can't do? You can't rent your house out if you take that out. No. A lot of people wanted to take equity release out so they could go and live abroad and rent the house out. Equity release won't allow you to do that.
Mm.
That's despicable. They tie you into your house.
So, well, no, because they've given you money. They've bought a piece of your house.
That's right. And you don't realise that.
Well, that's possibly
true. It's only taken over. Yeah, we don't. You don't catch on. So, anyway, right, this bloke phoned up, right, to see how much he could get out of his house. After he paid his mortgage off, he would get £30,000, right?
Right.
It sounded all right. It didn't matter. You know, it just sounded all right. He thought he'd go into it a bit further. The salesman said to him, right, if you, we can send a bloke round and you will get a free discussion with him, a free meeting with him.
Mm.
And he says, "What do you mean free? Why is it free?" He says, "Well, you don't have to pay for the first interview." He says, "Well, why have we got to pay for the others? I'm actually giving you part of my house and giving the equity away in my house."
Right.
He says, "Ah, yes." He said, whatever he said. Then he said, "We're not actually the equity release company. We are the agents."
Right.
So you've got to pay the agents to do it. Right. So then he says, "Well, why can't I go to the company who you are agents for?" He says, "Because I'm not going to tell you who they are." He said, "But we can get you an interest rate at 5.4%. Whereas if you don't go to us, you'll have to pay 6.9%.
Yeah.
So he's looking and he says, well, I could go anywhere and get 5.4 then. He says, "No, you can only get it through us. And if you don't go with us, you will lose £51,000 of your equity in your house."
Trading standards.
That's exactly where I think it should be taken. That's why I thought Mark should be aware of it, because I think that is despicable that a company, and I haven't got the name here. I have actually. I can tell you.
No, don't tell us the name until we know for sure what's going on. But
that's right. But they are conning people. They have gone right back to the original methods of equity release selling, where they are threatening, blackmailing and lying to people.
I think this guy should go on your forum, Mark.
Well, anybody like that is welcome. I mean, the first thing we're going to say to everybody is that if anybody ever tries to come and sell you credit or any means of borrowing money in your own home, you will get hurt. Don't do it.
Yeah,
why will you get hurt? Why do you say that?
Because the first thing is that I think that when you're simply dealing with, you know, one person, there's always going to be some selling pressure. There's always face-to-face pressure. People, in fact, almost get embarrassed as to say no and to refuse. So there's an enormous amount of pressure to sign up there and then. The second thing is that this is a very, very serious matter, and you need to go to a range of people to get various options and various prices and really to sit down and think about it. I think if you invite somebody around to your own home, they're sitting in there, I think immediately they have the advantage. And I'll bet you it's quite seldom that these guys walk out without a signature.
And the other thing to remember, as I keep banging on about, when you do an equity release agreement, you are letting go of part of your house.
You
are still responsible for it. You know, you could get £50,000, then find out you've got to put a new roof on, and that's cost you £50,000.
Well, hang on, that's the same as having a mortgage anyway, isn't it?
Well, that's what it is. I mean, an equity release is really getting a mortgage, okay? Mm. It's getting a second mortgage.
Yes.
Well, you could end up spending all the money you borrowed putting that roof on, couldn't you?
Exactly. So you've lost part of the equity of your house, and yet you've actually gained nothing. So you've got to be so careful in the way in which you do this. And my advice would be talk to your own personal bank. Have a word with them.
Not that they're going to be totally trustworthy, but certainly it's going to be a better way to go. And of course,
what I'm thinking of is if you've got an option from a non-bank source, the bank's more than likely going to be quite open and give you positive advice about, you know, the small print and all the rest of it, because it's not in their interest to let you go as a client.
Well, there's certainly that. I mean, one would hope that the banks are more controlled and more regulated and more answerable.
Yes.
That's certainly not going to be guaranteed nowadays, unfortunately. But I can tell you what, that if you've got a guy there who's operating in private and nobody's there controlling or surveying what's happening, then you're really opening yourself up to deep, deep trouble. And quite frankly, although maybe this sounds dramatic, we always say on the Consumer Action Group people, we say to everybody, record your calls. Mm-hmm. Just record your calls. You get a recording device. If you go for any meeting like this, whether it's in your own home, especially in your own home, or even to your bank manager's office, quite frankly, for about £20 on Amazon, you can get an excellent digital recording device. You take it in, switch it on, and record the lot.
And if they won't let you record it,
don't ask them.
But Mark, it's actually a really good thing. If you ask them and they say no, show them the door.
Well, that's certainly true.
Because you know it's dodgy.
I've got to be honest, I record everything like that. I do it covertly. I make no bones about it. If nobody wants to come to my house again, that's fine. Yeah. I record anything to do like that.
But, you know, and it's, guys, in all seriousness, you go to your typical business meeting today, and people record the meetings for further use. So, if the guy says, no, I don't want to be recorded, is he a bona fide businessman?
Absolutely.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, we've ruined the world. Now let's ruin the universe. No.
This is the outer space treaty. People who run the outer space treaty have said, now that's it. Let's go to the moon now. Let's go to other planets and open them up for tourism and for mining. And let's sell property on them. Let's build on them.
So how do you fly up there and have a look at your land then?
Well, you go to Richard Branson, don't you?
Oh, I see. I mean, yeah. I think it's lovely how people buy presents for their partners, you know, a star somewhere and all the rest of it. But it's not real, is it?
No.
It's not real, is it?
No, it isn't. And it's, but this is real.
They're just buying names, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's right. They're just buying names. But this is a different thing. This has moved on from there. Mm. This is a chance for billionaires, and people who are real top-notch entrepreneurial investors to start to buy space on Mars and the Moon and other planets, not on Jupiter because you go right through, right, in places like that, to start to get ready for a building boom in outer space. Not only a building boom, but to start to mine for precious metals and for gold and for coal and for oil and all the things that are there.
But plutonium. I know it won't be within our lifetimes, but, you know, next generation possibly, there will be an opportunity to fly to the moon.
Well, of course I will. Yeah, Richard Branson, like I say, I was joking really, but Richard Branson is part way there. You can already start to book flights in outer space.
Hmm. Yeah, so it won't be that long, Boys and Girls. Well, anyway,
but I mean, the real question about buying parts of the moon or buying parts of any planet is not really who's buying it; it's who's selling it.
Correct.
Is it going to be, you know, one government? Is it the Americans who got up there first and say, therefore, it belongs to us? I hope they wouldn't dare. You know, it's all another recipe for a load more war, quite frankly, and it could get extremely, extremely dangerous.
Yes.
I mean, they can't even agree about handful of blinking islands in between Taiwan and in between Japan and in between China. You know, they're already just about to sort of bomb the stuff out of each other because of that. Goodness knows what happens when we get to the moon.
Exactly. Let's move on to a lighter subject, which I can't remember what it is. Oh, yes. Drinking is good for the brain.
I can confirm that, ladies and gentlemen, after last night. It was brilliant for the brain. It is the best thing I've ever... I can't remember anything that happened. It was like putting an antivirus on your computer and wiping everything off that was bad. I felt brilliant. I felt wonderful. I could have fought the world. And today I don't feel that bad. I don't feel brilliant, but I don't feel bad. No, they're saying that actually... And this isn't a new thing. This isn't a new thing. They're saying it like it is a new thing. It was discovered in the 1920s that when artists such as Garcia and people like that created using opiums and alcohol, that they actually reached the pinnacles of their creativity after a certain amount of these mind-expanding supposed drugs. What happens with a drug like this? They expand your mind, then all of a sudden shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And 2.5 pints...
That's the part of the war, is
he got it all into one sentence as well. That's even better.
Sort of Viagra for the mind.
Yeah.
except this one shuts down.
Yeah.
2.5 pints of beer make you more creative. 3.5-4 pints of beer make you an idiot. But yeah,
right.
Well, that's it. Well, now the University of Illinois, right, have come up with the same idea and say that tests have proved that you become more creative when you've had a little bit to drink. And they actually, 2 pints of beer, they say it there. They've not even come up with any new facts.
No, but they've probably got a load of money for doing the research.
Exactly, what a rip-off.
But I don't know. As one that will be honest and admit that he drank excessively in his youth, especially on the way home from London,
I drink excessively in my dotage.
I have to say, since I've not been drinking, not because I'm teetotal or anti-alcohol
at all.
Ladies
and gentlemen, he's tarry-diddling again.
No, I very rarely drink these days.
I see now a little bit of truth coming out.
But I have to say that my head is clearer than it used to be when I drank several pints of beer a day.
It is. Well, actually, I'm not sure. I've never really gone through that process myself. But yeah, it is obviously it does things like that do fog your mind, and it depends what sort of thing you're doing. If you're operating machinery or flying aeroplanes or
it's
driving,
dangerous.
And you shouldn't. If you are in the creative media industry or any kind of creativity, quite often you will find that those people tend to operate with a certain amount of certain substances within their system.
Now I know why journos are always drunk.
Journos are always drunk because they drink too much, basically, is the biggest drinking industry. They drink more than builders. It is the biggest drinking industry in the world, and it is because of the creativity and also the stress factor.
I must admit, I remember when I went from being a journalist on my car insurance to a radio presenter, it went down by nearly 30%.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. Because I had to tell the truth that I was seen and my main income was journalism. So I was honest and my insurance went up by a huge amount. But then when I swapped over to media, as in a radio presenter, my insurance went down again. Ridiculous. Yeah. Before I forget, boys and girls, I've got to say a big thank you to everybody last week who contributed some amazing programme out of Gadget Show Live, including Lee and Danny and Debbie and various other bodies that joined us, including some of the absolute gurus of gaming in terms of Ian Livingston and Steve and Peter very Molyneux.
Chaps too.
Very, very interesting chaps. And very sort of switched on to today, which is quite amazing considering where they started in the 1980s. But more importantly, there was four teams of students all at Gadget Show Live presenting games to the masses. And I have to say, although there was one winner, I'm not going to pick them out because I think that everybody that went there, as one of the Gadget Show presenters said, they were all winners because what they were doing was the most amazing things. And also, they are going to be raising money, get this, for the Prince's Trust very shortly by selling their game for the first few weeks with the money going to the Prince's Trust. Mm. How cool is that for young lads?
It was really cool. It was a good event and it was really good fun.
And the funny thing is, the young people of this world are continually lambasted by everybody as being the Antichrist. And yet these kids genuinely are going to donate all the money from the games in the first bit to the Prince's Trust. I compliment them for doing it because you've got sort of sub-25s giving money back to sub-25s. Now, how cool is that?
Yeah, very.
It's also, we should remember also that the games industry is now bigger and more creative than Hollywood itself.
Are they all drunk then?
They must be. Yeah. All these kids are drunk, ladies and gentlemen.
No, they're not. Oh, no, we've reached the point of the programme.
Oh, dear.
Which probably will mean I've got to say goodbye now to most of you. It's been a pleasure talking to you this week, and I'm sorry that you're all going to leave now because Lee's managed to squeeze in Dylan again.
And Leonard Cohen.
And Leonard Cohen. Oh.
Yeah. Honestly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I actually put this in for Eric and for Eric alone, right? Who had says that his royal bobness, his bar royal bobness of Dylan, has failed. He's no longer relevant in this world.
Yes.
Well, guess where he's starring in the next few weeks? Hop Farm, where I went to see him 2 years ago, where he was the main headline act. And after he's appeared at Hop Farm, he's then off to Basiquim in Spain to headline there as well. And on top of, below him, if you wish to be so bold, are Florence and the Machine, Jessie J, that lovely lady who's been on British television.
Yeah, but you know why? Have you not? If you didn't see the Hop Farm event a couple of years ago, boys and girls,
I was there, dear. I was there.
I know. You were there. But this is the problem with the increases and benefits of modern medicine, which means old people stay alive younger for a longer period of time.
Oh. What it is, certain artists like Dylan, who've been around for 50 years now, you have to hold your hands up and say he's been around for 50 years, are still relevant today and as impressive to young people as they were when he started in the 60s.
Yeah, but don't forget, Lee, let's be honest. We are in our 50s.
Yeah.
Now, I'm being honest, we're in our 50s.
Yeah.
And so to Bob Dylan, we're youngsters.
Well, he's 70. He is.
That's what I'm saying.
He's just coming up 71 now. And he's actually performing better than he performed in his youthdom, in the grand 60s, where he gave some of the most incendiary shows ever seen across Europe and across the world. Mm. He is now as incendiary now as he was then, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you want me to say now?
Nothing.
Tell you about
nothing. Because we're going. No, nothing now because we're going because it's time to say goodbye.
Well, can't we just see what Leonard Cohen here, who's been defrauded by his road manager?
Mm. No, he's 78. He's got to go back on
right.
The road.
And he says things like, I mean, do people really speak like this? It gives me no pleasure to see my one-time friend shackled to a chair in a court of law, her considerable gifts bent to the service of darkness, deceit and revenge.
We're going to go, boys and girls. That's it. The base card from Pop Rad for another week. We'll be back with probably more insane old musicians in the future as Lee brews up to go to Hop Farm again. See you soon. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
That a spirit of understanding will convert her heart from hatred to remorse, from anger to kindness.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.